said, precious Lord, show me. Take my hand, show me. Lead me on, show me. Help me, please. Show me. God knows I get tired. Show me. I even get weak sometimes. Show me. I even get worn. Show me. But I ask the Lord, show me. Guide my footsteps, show me. Anoint my eyes, show me. So I can see no evil. Show me. Without your help, I know I fall. Show me. Without you, Jesus, show me. There's no help at all. Show me. Somebody may be listening, show me. Going through a storm in their life. Show me. We the sons of God. Show me. We just came to encourage you. If you're lost,
if you're lost,
and it is bad,
it is
bad. And
the sea light,
no one there.
Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel radio serving all of Senla at 88.1.
And welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Thank you for always being on time. And in there are instances, not you're just on time, but you're in time. Father, we just want to say thank you. Now, God, speak to me, speak through me as always, that your word will go forth, that we will feel better leaving than when we came, because we've heard a word from you. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray, amen. Psalms 119. Thank you, ministers of music. Thank you, choir, for ministering to our souls. Psalms 119. And in Psalms 119, there's two passages of scripture that we want to look at. That's verse 67. And verse 71, Psalms 119, verse 67, and verse 71. We there?
Yes, sir.
Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray.
That's right.
But now I have kept thy word.
Right.
Verse 71, it was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn his statutes. I want to talk on this thought, my troubles made me trust him. My troubles made me trust him. Thank you, Ursus. When it comes to troubles and affliction, none of us runs toward affliction. None of us run towards troubles and trials. We don't warmly embrace trouble. We don't warmly embrace affliction. We don't want troubles and trials and afflictions to show up in our lives. Because when we look at affliction, it is an unpleasant reality. It is that which causes pain, distress, disgruntlement. Affliction, by its very definition, is that which is catastrophic, that which is calamitous. And we don't get on our knees and pray and ask God to send us trouble and to send us affliction. But believe it or not, my brothers and sisters, as sure as you are breathing today, troubles and afflictions will come your way. You don't have to pray for it because it's coming. And since I know it's coming, I have to prepare my heart and mind for when it shows up. And the reason why Satan catches us off guard, the reason why he has the ability to gut punch you and give you a punch that you didn't see coming, because you were naive to believe that since you are saved, you are exempt from trouble. But I've come to discover that the closer I get to God, the more hell Satan sends my way. How many then have hell hounds on your trail? You didn't do nothing to nobody. You've been praying for everybody. You've been giving the way God told you to give. You've been worshiping the way God told you to worship. You try to love everybody, even the ones that don't love you. You're doing the best you can. You're working hard every day of your life. You fast, you pray, you sing, you worship. Nobody hinders you, but yet hell just keep on coming. And can I give you some good news? When hell is on your trail like that, that means that you are doing something to please God. So don't get upset with God when trouble is all around you. That's the time to praise God, because you are doing that which God has asked you to do. And my brother, I've come to discover that when I went through things, it showed me how to really trust God. Now, many of us jump in church on Sunday morning and we say, I trust the Lord no matter what. See, God is not listening at the part when you say, I trust the Lord. He's focusing on the no matter what. And so since you say no matter what, he's going to send things your way and to substantiate what you say. Y'all didn't get what I'm saying. When you get before the church and say, I serve him no matter what, the church is going, God's going to let the church see you go through some no matter what. And they're going to say, he sure said it. Because how many can testify and say, I was at the point of giving up, but I didn't give up. I started to walk away from the church, but I didn't walk away. I started to walk away from ministry, but I couldn't walk away because he orders my steps. And my steps didn't go in the direction to walk away, but to walk towards him. The psalmist is in our text this morning tells us about affliction, tells us about troubles. But then look, watch this in verse 67. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, and now have I kept thy word. Write this down. Number one, the reason why I can trust him, because my affliction committed me to the Lord. Look at verse 67. Watch this. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He says, me straying from God, the only thing that brought me back to God, he had to send affliction my way. Some of us don't pray until we're in trouble. And if God said, if that's the only way I'm going to keep you on your knees, then I'm going to keep trouble coming your way. Y'all ain't getting what I'm saying. Sometimes you're going through things not because God don't want you to go through them, Not because God doesn't love you. You are going through it to stay committed. Because when you're in a financial difficulty and going through sickness, you stayed in the church. Soon as he healed your body, you walked away from the church. So God said, I got to let sickness to come back to you to put you back in church again. And the only way I'm going to keep you in church every Sunday, I'm going to have the doctor to keep on diagnosing you. Y'all ain't get what I'm saying. See, a lot of people, Reverend Curse, Reverend Slaughter and Dearborn, they are connected to the Lord, but not committed. Afflictions not just connect, but commit. Watch this. Those who come to church on first Sundays to get communion and don't come no other Sunday, they connected, but not committed. See, committed folk is going to come as often as you can. Even on a rainy day like this, when you committed, you're going to come. Why does rain stop people from coming to church? And rain don't stop you from going nowhere. Oh, yeah, I'm about to go there. Some of you won't come two blocks to the church in the rain, but drive all the way to Marksville with a tornado warning out. Oh, yeah, I went there. Oh, yeah, I sure did. You connected, but not committed. He says, for me to be committed, after I went astray, he afflicted me. You see, connected people wait till they get into the mood to worship. That means God has to do something spectacular for you to come to church in a good mood. He woke me up this morning. And I'm in a good mood. He woke you up this morning. You should be in a good mood too. When you woke up, you wasn't laying in a hospital bed. You woke up in your own bed. You ought to be in a good mood too. And then when you're in a good mood, you don't have to be cheerleaded in the praise and worship. You came here with that on your mind because you are committed to what God is doing in your life. Jesus went to church, and we should go to church. Even with all your drama, you still need to come to church. And see, for some people, watch this. Here's the difference. There's a difference between somebody that's committed and somebody is not. Because some people come to church with their worship, but it has contingencies. My praise and worship have strings attached. In other words, I want to praise, but I'm not going to praise while she's singing because I don't like her. I want the word, but I don't want to hear it when he's preaching because I don't agree with him. Well, see, how can you come into God's house with contingencies, with strings attached? It makes no difference if my arch enemy would get up and say, the Lord is good. I'm going to testify and say, yes, he is. See, it's not who's singing, it's not who's preaching, it's who they're singing and who they're preaching about. And see, that's enough for me to get involved in the worship because I am committed, so committed to him that when I think about all the things he's done for me and the prayers he's answered for me, when I hear his name, a prostitute can walk off the street and say, Jesus, I'm going to stand on my feet. An alcoholic can come in here full of liquor right now and say, Jesus, I'm going to stand on my feet. Because it's not who's singing, it's what he is saying. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ah. I see committed people just don't pray at church. They pray all the time. And see, one time I did things my way. But as I went, I was afflicted and God brought me through the storm. I learned to do it his way. Look what he's saying in the text, verse 6-7. He's saying, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but it took affliction to bring me back to God. And how many can testify and say, oh, yeah, preacher, it can bring me back. Yeah, preacher, I've been there. See, you ain't gonna get too many people to testify on this, because for you to testify to this, you means you did something after you met Christ. Yeah, I met Christ and I gave Christ my life, but I messed up. I walked away. I done some things that he wasn't pleased with. But yet he sent affliction my way, not because he didn't love me, to put me back in right standing with him. And that's why Paul said, I'll glorify in my infirmities. Long as I know that your grace is sufficient for me, that means the more hell I go through, the more grace you're going to send me. He said, Satan, bring it on, because God got enough. My affliction committed me. Now watch this. After the commitment, here comes the true connection. See, you want to be connected, but you got to be committed to understand connection. Once you are committed, now you become connected. Watch what he does. In verse 71, he said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. Commitment and connection together bring understanding to my mind. In other words, what he is saying in verse 71, in my troubles, I've learned some things. What I've learned in my affliction, I couldn't have learned it without being afflicted. In other words, what he is saying is, I couldn't have learned to appreciate the sunshine unless I've been in the rain. I can't learn to appreciate money in my pocket if I've never been broke. I can't learn to appreciate a healthy body if I've never been sick. And see, you got some people that been through some stuff, and the stuff you've been through, you learn from the stuff. And that's why every now and then you find a purpose person in church seems like they're getting on everybody's nerves, because they just keep shouting and keep praising. It don't matter if they got to do it all by themselves, because when they were in trouble, they learned some stuff. He said, I've learned thy statutes. Affliction is not given to you to make you bitter, but to make you better. And I learned some stuff, my brothers and sisters, since I've been afflicted. The worst thing about affliction and trouble is to go through it and haven't learned nothing from it. Let me say it again. The worst thing for you about affliction and trouble is to go through it and haven't learned anything. You know somebody like that? They done been through all kind of stuff, and they get through it and still just as hellish and mean as they was before they get through it. Ain't no change in them. Ain't no shout in them. You done seen people on the hospital bed. They counted them dead. God bless them. They come back in the church, still sit still, don't wave their hand. They haven't learned anything. Baby, when I stomped my toe and he healed my toe, that was enough for me to get in the church and wave my hand and say, Lord, you didn't let it set up gangrene that I didn't lose my feet. I wish I had somebody to testify. Say, preacher, I've learned. He said, I've learned some things. What you learn, preacher? I learned the Lord to make a way somehow. What else you learn, Reverend? I learned that the Lord will supply my needs. What else you learn, preacher? I've learned he'll bring peace in my situation. What else have you learned, preacher? I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. What else have you learned, preacher? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What else have you learned, preacher? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, what else have you learned? When I walk in the sanctuary, let lift your hands in the sanctuary. What else have you learned? I've learned to stand up and praise God if I got to do it all by myself, because he's been good to me. He says, watch how. Watch this commitment and connection. Watch what how he really opens up verse 71. He says, it was good for me. He said, it was good for me that I had been afflicted. Because if God would not have afflicted me, I would have still been in the same state that I was. But since he allowed trouble to come in my life, he said it was good for me. Watch this. Not only do you praise God for deliverance, you also have to praise God for allowing you to go through it. How many can say I'm better now since I went through it? I didn't know how good life can be until I went through it. I didn't appreciate the Sunday mornings until I went through it. I didn't appreciate church and church work and church service and church praise and church worship until I went through some things. And when I went through it, I used to be in church with my arms folded, looking at my watch, waiting on church to end. But now I've got my hands in the air. I don't even wear a watch because I don't care how long I'm going to be there, because God's been good. He says, I've learned thy statutes. I've learned some things about you, God, that you allow sickness to come just to heal my body. You allow me to get broke and don't have no way of paying my bills, but then touch all my creditors' heart to give me an extension. But then sometimes your lights may get cut off. Make the best out of it. Light a candle and have a nice dinner. One thing my mother taught me, no use of worrying over something you have no control over. You got folk to sit here and hollering about, oh, this rain. That ain't going to stop it from crawling. Get your umbrella, make it on the church, and be all right. Sisters, look, when you know it's going to rain Sunday, don't even go get your hair done. Go get you a girlfriend and put on. Bless your heart. Shame on y'all sisters, like you don't know what a girlfriend is. It looks like yours, but it's not. Hey, look. But you still got it going on. Watch this. He says, I'm committed. My commitment led me to true connection. Because once I'm committed, God shows me all I need to do. And when he shows me, I learn from what he has done. But then finally, verse 75, he says, I know, O Lord, that thou judgments are right, that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. In other words, he is saying here that I'm not going to question you. He said, because my troubles and my afflictions made me more committed, gave me a stronger connection, and now I feel your compassion. Watch this. He says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. In other words, he says, when you're punishing me, I know you are punishing me for a right reason. And how many of them been punished? See, Reverend Kirk, Reverend Dearborn, Reverend Slaughter, a lot of folk ain't going to say about I've been punished. Because to admit you've been punished is also to admit you did something wrong. I never forget one time my Aunt Betty was whooping my cousin Pee Wee. And then as she was whipping him, she made a mistake and hit me. And see, one thing about my mother and my aunts, they didn't apologize. And I said, "Aunt Betty, you hit me. I didn't do nothing." She said, "You lying. You done did something." In other words, I'm not going to hit you for nothing. God is not going to punish you for nothing. There's a difference between affliction and punishment. Because he will send affliction to aid and assist you. But punishment will bring you down and hold you down until you realize what you've done. Job was afflicted, but he hadn't done nothing wrong. But yet God allowed him to go through it to make him stronger. And even in your punishment, you're supposed to learn from it. And watch what he says. Watch this. It's going to bless you. Look how he travels. Y'all ready for this? In verse 67, he's straying. In verse 71, he's learning. But in verse 75, he's knowing. Y'all just missed it. Verse 67, he strayed. Verse 71, he learned. But now in verse 75, he says, "I know." You see, I don't know everything. But then there are some things, y'all, I just know. I know that all things work together for the good. Them that love God, those who are called according to his purpose. You don't know everything, but there are some things you need to know. That when I call on him in the day of trouble, that he will deliver me. What else you know? I know that I am a child of God. Because I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, then shall I be saved. What else you know, preacher? I know that I've got a home waiting in glory. And I don't have to send up no timber either because my home is already built. And I don't need you to, when you get there before me, save a seat for me. I don't trust you to save a seat for me. When I accepted Christ, my seat was already reserved. I know it. I said, "I know, oh Lord, that thou judgments were right." He said, "I know you didn't treat me unfairly. That through faithfulness, thou has afflicted me." Y'all miss your praise cue. Look what